Blog Talk Radio.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. This is BVM Global Kingdom. The views and opinions expressed on BVM Global Kingdom Podcast Radio Network are solely those of host, guests, and callers. And once again, thank you for listening to BVM Global Kingdom.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it.
This is the day
that the Lord
has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Peace and greetings, Shabbat Shalom, happy Sabbath day, happy seventh day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. This is another broadcast coming from BVM Global Kingdom, be known as the Broken Vessels, and I am the host speaker and senior pastor of the Broken Vessels, the Elder George Rita. We give thanks to the Most High God for allowing us to come one more time in his name on this Shabbat, on this Sabbath day. We thank you, Most High God, for allowing us to be on your wake-up list today. We thank you most of all for creating this day for us. But we thank you for carrying us through the whole week without any hurt, harm, or danger. We thank you for your provisions that you've blessed us with, Lord. Shelter over our head, food on our table, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet. We thank you for making a way out of no way, for being a way maker and a provider. We thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. But most high God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for sending your son, Christ, and the Comforter to teach us all truth and give us the wisdom and understanding, Lord. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. You know, before we get started today, we also want to put out a prayer for those families that suffered loss of loved ones. Whether it was the casualties of war or destruction of pestilence, of earthquake, tornado, rainfall, flooding, fires burning, or just natural cause of death, other sickness or disease. We know the perilous times and the war, the rumors of wars that's going on, but it's all been prophesied in the Word of God. He said it was going to come to this. So what we have to do in a lot of situations is that we have to pray for the strength of one another and then whatever course that it's going to take, because even when you do war, there's always repercussions of war. And there's always a hidden agenda behind the war. And the reasons behind a lot of wars and things is conquering. Conquering in territory and possession. And folks dictating and forcing their will on folks. And we've been dealing with that since the beginning of time. And it's going to continue on. But one thing I know is this, that we need to seek first ye the kingdom of the Most High God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto us. Peace, joy, strength, good health, prosperity. When we put him first, when we start to build the kingdom, and when we show the intent and integrity of the Almighty, and integrity for all people, not just one kind, but all nations, and show them the glory of the Most High God, then we'll show his Holy Spirit and who he is. But Lord, I thank you for not only giving me the Holy Spirit, but giving me the wisdom, Lord, in all things, in all truths. So I know what's just and what's not unjust. And Lord, continue to give me insight, not only in your word, but Lord, in your way. And before we get going today, we're going to have prayer coming from our very own woman of God, the Chaplain Valerie. Peace and blessings to you, Chaplain.
Thank you, Pastor George. As Pastor George had already talked about, is the dilemma that the family is in. The family is being attacked maliciously, vehemently, with such great force that the family is being splintered, shattered, breached. Anything that has to do with the enemy has got a full assault on the family. So Lord God, we come to you today. You are the most gracious and merciful and miraculous God, and we thank you for having us in your care. Help us to love each other like Jesus Christ loved the church. Allow us to grow in love so deep that we are able and willing to overcome and fulfill and forgive a multitude of misgivings with one another. That we are encouraging one another. That we know that we can lean on one another. Inspire a spirit of hospitality in each of us. Inspire a spirit of cheerfulness that will enable us to share our home with one another. We acknowledge you, Lord God, because you've given us, each one of us, spiritual gifts. They may be different, but they're your spiritual gifts, so that we can serve you and please thee in the newness of life in a collective manner. Once again, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the newness of life. Thank you for granting us another day, because they are brand new mercies that you have given us. In Jesus' name, the Christ, the Messiah, your Son, hallelujah and amen.
Amen, amen. You know, also, we want to put out a special prayer for the family of the Green family, for the loss of their loved
one. Yes, yes.
And the Apostle Maurice. And the loss of the loved ones of in his family. We are sending out prayers for you and strengthening for you, sir. And all of those, as I said earlier, who may have lost loved ones, whether it's from the war or from sickness or illness or any type of tragedy, we're praying for you and your families to give you strength during this bereavement time and the loss of your loved ones. And I want to ask the chaplain if she would start the reading today before we get into today's topic. The
subject,
Psalms 1, 1 through 6, and Proverbs 3, 1 through 7.
Psalm 1?
Yes.
1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Excuse me. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit, his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drive away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord know the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That was Psalm 1:1-6. Now we're going to read Proverbs, the third chapter. And what verse would you like us to start at, Pastor?
Verse 1.
Okay. 1-7. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen. You know, last week, Shabbat, we were speaking in Romans, the 8th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we do apologize, those BBM Global listeners or Broken Vessels listeners. Me and the chaplain, we were involved in doing some other duties, and we apologize for we weren't doing our regular broadcast on Thursday and Friday of this week. And we apologize to the listeners because we know that you've been faithfully listening, and we apologize. We, too, are trying to put into motion some different things for the Broken Vessels.
For ministry, yeah.
For the ministry's sake. And as us being pastors, we also have to minister to the people and their situation and their circumstances, and we have to be available, you know, for whatever that may be. And we apologize. But we're going to try to continue to be faithful in this ministry and in the broadcast that we've been doing. I know at least for the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we may be doing a new day instead of Thursday, maybe Wednesday. It'll be Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And we'll be coming back with the Women's Speak Out and Women's Prayer on Monday and Tuesday at a later time. But for now, this is what we're doing right now. But we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for your support. We thank you for all the things that you've done and this ministry. Now, we're dealing with Romans, the 8th chapter. I believe we stopped at verse 23. But I want you to start at Romans 8 and 21.
Okay.
The 21st verse, New Living Translation chapter.
Romans 8. I'll be starting at verse 8.
No, 21.
Verse 21, reading from the New Living Translation. Romans 8, starting at verse 21, reading from the New Living Translation.
Mm-hmm.
Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay.
Yes.
For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Verse 23. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, or we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will.
Yes.
And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters.
Look at that.
So that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself.
Yes.
And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the peace of honor, or the place of honor, at God's right hand, pleading for us.
Amen, amen, amen. And that's a whole, I mean, when you sit back and you think about this here, what the Word of God just said, and the sacrifice that he made just for us, for his people. You know, and he explains this situation with his people and with the children of Israel and with the story that they've gone through. But even though he chose the children of Israel and gave them the blueprint and gave them the testimony of Christ and all the other prophets, they still fell astray. They still seeked after pagan and idol gods. They still were disobedient to God, to the Most High. And the Most High had to give an altar to situation by giving them a second chance in Christ. Because In the beginning, everyone was caught up into the letters of the law and following of the law, which I understand and I get it. But when you break the law of the Most High God, there's a penalty behind that. And we know that in most situations with the penalty, what it was, came from a stoning or death. We can read that in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. We know what that is. But through the love of the Heavenly Father, because he loved us since the beginning.
Well.
And he cared for us, and he had mercy on us, and he gave us grace through part of himself, his son, Christ, the Messiah. And the purpose of Christ coming here.
Well.
And not making everything based upon the written law, because we know that had to go to those people that were hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious that wouldn't follow. So he had to put something down in writing for them. But through Christ, through his son, he enabled them to go through the spirit. And this is what we're dealing with right now. This earth is dealing with spiritual warfare right now.
Right now.
Of wickedness and evil. Of spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities of evil and wicked. We see it across the land. Blatant murdering, killing, wars, warmongers. We see that in the result. Bloodshed.
Well.
Going back and forth.
Well, you know, Pastor?
Yes.
In Romans 8:35 through 39, it just confirms what you just said.
Read that again. You know what? Read it in King James. We did the New Living Translation. Read the Romans 8:35-39 in King James Version. Let's get a different perspective on this, because we did the New Living. Let's see what the King James say.
Well, this is starting at 35.
Started Romans 8:35-39.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress,
rest, read that.
Persecution,
yeah,
or famine,
see,
or nakedness,
uh-huh,
or peril, or sword.
See, now stop right there, Chapman. What is the world dealing with right now?
All of the above.
All of these things are happening right now in this earth. Now, read 35 again. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Read that again.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword.
We all are going through distress.
Yes.
We all are going through a sense of nakedness. We all are going through perilous times, destruction. But this is in the time where we have to stay focused on the Most High and on Christ and his kingdom. Continue, read.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
Mm.
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persecuted, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
See, we need to break that down. That last, so now, what are the things that should not separate us? Read that again, that last verse. What are the things that should not separate us from the love of God? What's the first thing?
For I am persecuted,
mm-hmm,
neither death nor life.
See, now stop right there. Whether we go through our everyday life,
mm-hmm,
of this human world, whether we are dead or in the grave,
mm-hmm,
or we are with life here on this earth, that should not separate us from the love of Christ. and the reason that he came here for us. And read, and what else? No death nor life.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Or?
Nor angels, nor principalities.
Okay, okay. Nor angels.
Nor principalities.
Or principalities. That means this wickedness and this evilness and these standards and these systems and all this and stuff. Or even angelic beings coming here cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Is there any more?
Hell yeah, there's more.
And what else? Or?
Principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, D-E-P-T-H, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Look at that. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So those folks that's going through, that those folks is dealing with things, you should not let nothing separate you from the love of Christ or his kingdom. You know, one of the things about going through something or a situation, no matter what it is, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's depression, a state of mind, whether you're dealing with alcoholism, maybe, or you're dealing with drug addiction, or you're dealing with the separation of your family, whether it's mother or father or sister or brother, or whether you're dealing with shelter situations, financial situations, food situations. And as we said earlier today, and Matthew's the 6th chapter. You know what? I'm going to read that too. The Matthew's the 6th chapter, starting verse 24. Matthew 6, starting 24 to 34. Because this kind of explains now the things that goes on this earth and what we deal with. Because a lot of things that we deal with in our life are based upon choices or decisions that we make. And when we make those decisions or we make those choices in life, is it for the betterment of ourselves or building the kingdom of the Most High? Or is it on materialistic things or personal gain? You know, a lot of times, even when you're going through and we seek the Almighty and the answer of what we need from him, the human nature always goes to something for a remedy fast and quick. Sometimes the Almighty, he reacts and he answers fast and quick. But then sometimes there's a process that you may have to go through. You may have to go or evolve to a situation that strengthens you and prepares you for things down the line. Well, what do you mean when you say that, dear preacher, pastor? Well, I mean when I say that. Sometimes when you're going through, sometimes when you ask the Almighty to come into your life and you want him to fix some things, especially inside of you, there has to come a time of reexamination, has to become a time of, some folks may say, detoxation of the world. And the detoxation of the world has to do with a lot of things that we do in this world. Of some are materialistic, some are pagan and idols stuff. Some may be how we live and how we act and who we're around. And sometimes we have to separate ourselves. And what the scriptures speak about is sanctification. Now, you can touch a little bit on this here too, Chavin. A lot of folks don't understand what sanctification means. Now, we can get the biblical explanation of what sanctification means. Before we read that, Matthew 6, starting at 24, sanctification. And I want you to pull up the definition of what what does sanctification mean? A lot of times folks get misled and they get a misunderstanding on what sanctification means, especially of the Most High. And they think that sanctification means because somebody say a prayer for you. No. They say they think that sanctification means that did you do some of the commandments of the Most High? No. So I wanted to get, I guess, the Google definition of what sanctification is.
From what I understand, Pastor, that
yes,
and I'll definitely tell our listeners what Google says.
Okay.
They probably already looked it up, but anyway, from what I understand, sanctification means this is just what I understand it from.
That's
my learning.
Your learning. Okay, come on.
Is that when we become sanctified or the sanctification process, we have been reserved for holy use.
Okay. What was part of that process to be used for the holy use?
To be used for holy use. What? Because I'll say it like what I've heard the layman say. Where are you taking Jesus?
Oh, okay.
Jesus lives within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us.
Yes.
So where are we taking them?
Right.
Where are we taking the Holy Spirit? Where are we taking Christ, the Messiah,
yes,
that lives, who lives within us? Mm-hmm. So we are being reserved for holy use. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
See? Oh, that's one example, yes.
That's one example where God is instructing us to that we, by God's word, and because we have internalized God's word, the Holy Scriptures within us, we have become sanctified, or we are becoming ready for holy use. Okay, now we can talk about what Paul said. Paul understood that God's word, now I'm reading this from a Google site. Paul understood that God's word trains us in righteousness so that we may be, that we may be complete. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, 16 through 17.
Mm-hmm. What does that say? Do you have it?
Let me go get it. 2 Timothy, the third chapter.
16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or reproof, for correction or instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
All right. Okay. Now, what was the Google definition?
Google definition.
Sanctification.
All right.
Now, I'm going to give you my interpretation of the sanctification.
This is what Google says.
What is it?
From the dictionary, it says, action of making or declaring something holy.
Hmm.
That's one.
Okay. Uh-huh.
This is one of three. The action or process of being freed from sin or purified.
Yeah. Come on.
The action of causing something to be or seem morally right or acceptable.
I like that. I like all three of them right there.
That's what Google says.
Okay. Now we have Google definition.
And the word is?
The Chapman interpretation of her, which was all good stuff. And we had the...
to say it again? There it is.
Sanctification.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is really what sanctification, and I've got this from the Word of God too.
All right. Well.
Sanctification begins with the separation from that unclean thing.
Well.
Whatever it may be in your life.
Whatever it may be.
And I don't care what it is.
Okay.
You separate yourself from that unclean thing of this unholy, unrighteous.
Mm.
And you separate yourself, your mind, your soul, your spirit, your being, your presence from that unclean thing. And you go into that point of holiness and righteousness of the Most High God.
That's right.
Okay? So you want to sanctify yourself? Not only do you have to search yourself, but you have to separate yourself for those things that are unclean and unholy and unrighteous. And you can determine whatever that may be in your life.
That's
right. Sometimes people struggle with that because they don't want to let go of that unclean thing.
Oh.
They want to stay attached to the unclean thing and still call or have the perception that they're still being sanctified by the Most High God. No, it don't work like that.
It doesn't work that way.
I'm sorry. And sanctification. And some folks say, they try to make a difference. They say, well, sanctification, is that a sense of segregation? Well, not exactly.
Sanctification.
A part of segregation.
Segregation.
Separation.
Well, but
it's a separation now. It all depends on what is making you fall. What is making you go into sin? Okay? What is the unclean thing? Is it the ways, the actions of people? Is it things that you're doing, substance, or materialistic thing that cause you to fall into sin?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a physical desire, the mindset that causes you to go into sin? Now, sanctification and separation is to make you have a closer relationship with the Most High so that you can meditate on him day and night. And when you separate from him, holiness and righteousness. Long as that is the main point, long as that is the foundation, then you're truly into sanctification. The only one that can sanctify you is the Most High God. He's the one that sanctifies you.
Mm-hmm.
Man can't sanctify you. You ain't sanctified by wearing no white, black, or whatever color, or wearing a symbolistic piece of a religious piece, a moon, the sun, a star, wood or stone. That does not sanctify you.
No.
Okay? And a lot of times that we as human beings that we try to struggle with, well, what does sanctification mean? What does the image of God mean? How does that look?
Mm.
How do we perceive the image of God? Because man will tell you what the image of his interpretation of what the image of God is, but only the Most High God can show the image of him. And he said, and Christ said it so plainly, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and if you love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, how do we love ourselves? How do we define love for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been tainted with the things of this world and the love of this world. And that's what the difference where people can't make a discernment between the things of this world and the things of God. And that's what a lot of folks struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here to tell you that no matter what, we read it in the scripture of what we just read in this Romans 8, 35 to 39. There's nothing to separate you from the love of Christ.
Mm-mm.
Not your situation, not the things going on this earth,
mm-mm,
not life or death, pestilence,
mm-mm,
evil or wickedness? Anything you want to add on that chapter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, each and every listener today
mm-hmm.
that was able to tune in. And we in the Romans, the 8th chapter, we concluded Romans, the 8th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this thing gets even better. We're going to be tuning back into, we're going to stay in the book of Romans. And I'm not going to beat no one in the head over different things, because when I start teaching or ministering in the Word of God, some folks take it personal, like just picking on them. No, I'm going as the Spirit leads me. And it's not personal. It's just the Word of God. We're going to be going into Romans, the 9th chapter. And it just explains about the story of what happened. What happened with the children of Israel, about the Spirit, and worshiping in the Spirit, and not just the flesh, or following the flesh, but the Spirit of the Almighty, and accepting the mercy and the grace that Christ came here for, and not allowing yourself to be imprisoned by certain ordinances or things which are good and which are applicable to you and your salvation. But if your heart isn't right and your mind isn't right and your spirit isn't right, just following the precepts or following the blueprint is not going to, it's not the only thing that's going to make you make it in. As he speaks about that sanctification. Because this is a thing that, a spiritual walk that we have to walk, a choice that we have to make in following the Most High. And it's a process. Well, brothers and sisters, family, it's been a pleasure. And we thank each and every one of you that's been tuned in today on this Shabbat. And I want you to take this word with you too. You stay in the Word. Meditate on it day and night. And remember that the Messiah Christ, Yeshua Yeshaya, Jesus, if you call him, he is the living Word. You continue to be blessed. And we ask that the Most High God send his guardian angels to watch over you and your families, protect you from any hurt, harm, or danger, and he continue to provide for you. But you know what? I'm sorry. Before we go into closure, I did have one scripture that I did want to read, and I wanted the chaplain, because we alluded from that. I want to close with that. And that's the reading of Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 24
mm-hmm.
and 34. And we're going to close with the ending of the reading of that scripture.
Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Start at verse 24.
Verse 24. 24 and what, sir?
To 34. And you can do King James. You do King James.
Or New.
Or King, what do you have before you?
New Living.
You can do the New Living.
24. Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 24, reading from the New Living Translation. No one can serve two masters.
See?
For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't it like more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them.
Yes.
And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries a single moment to your life? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies in the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Why do you have such little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. Amen.
Amen. And that was the scripture and the word that we're going to close with today.
Mm-hmm.
And you continue to read that and you continue to meditate on the word. God bless you. Shalom. Peace.
Peace.
And as Chapman say, in a minute.
In a minute. Woo-hoo!